Hi, this is Craig Euler.
This is Jimmy Carlson.
We're here from Middle Age Comeback to play
The Improv Nerd.
That's improv, bitch. Improv, bitch.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Improv.
Nerds.
Improv.
Nerds.
Improv.
Nerds.
Here we go again. It's another episode of Improv Nerd, and we come from the Skybox at Second City. I'm your host, Jimmy Corain. Today's guests are two guys who are not only accomplished improvisers, they're directors, actors, and teachers. They are Craig Euler and Jim Carlson. They perform together as middle-aged comeback at I.O. Chicago on Sunday nights. We got to sit down with them and perform with them as well as they talk about their age, their hopes, their dreams, and Jim talks to us candidly about how directing the last main stage show was a rough experience for him.
Yeah, good to see you.
Nice to see you again.
There was one time, every time I see you, there's always like, you're so passionate about improvisation. I mean, you're like a little kid, except the last time I saw you was at Noah's thing. And I felt so much shame because I didn't say hi because I was really uncomfortable going to the Improv Olympic. It was 10:30 at night. So I just want to clear that up.
Oh, that's so nice
okay,
of you.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that because I felt... That's the first time I'd ever felt so much animosity at a party of improvisers because most of the people that had shown up for that had been on a team with Linda at some point and had been cut from the I.O. schedule, and I have nothing really big to do with that, but at the same time, I have a lot to do with that. So I felt a lot of animosity from them, so I was walking through that party like it was a minefield. So I'm sure I was avoiding everyone as well.
Okay, because I get, like, scared. I'm afraid of people. I mean, in that kind of thing, like, Pasquazi.
You should have come towards me then. I would have helped you.
Right. Pasquazi was there, and I didn't approach him either. I mean,
You know that guy.
I know, but I'm just when I'm in certain situations, I get really scared, and, you know.
Sure.
And then, was it Amanda Blake Davis? She was there with you? That, I don't, what was that, Ben?
That was my alarm, folks.
The alarm went off. It's 9:13. She was there. I just wanted to clear that up.
Okay, good. I didn't notice it.
I did. I've been holding on to it for middle-aged comeback. How old are you guys, really, Jim?
We're almost middle-age.
Which is?
I'm an actor. There's no way I'm going to say it at this point. I'm trying to get jobs at a big scale.
Okay.
And this building doesn't let you do that if they know your real age. So
do you really believe that?
I know it for a fact.
What about his directing? Because you direct
directing, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No. Okay.
I do both, though.
Okay.
So how old are you as a director?
Oh, as a director, I'm the same age as I am as
right,
an actor.
Right.
I skew between the age of 25 and 45.
I hear when you're directing this building, it adds 10 years to
it
your
does.
Life.
It makes me grumpy, and I am a much happier, younger person when I'm not directing.
I'm 48, so I'm middle-aged, right?
Yeah.
What do you think the benefit, and we won't reveal ages because it's a podcast and there's a lot of people listening. What do you enjoy improvising now at your age than you did when you first started when you were in your 20s?
What do I enjoy more now?
More now, yeah.
This show I do with him is the most fun improv show I've ever done in my life. By hands down. There's no including like two-man show I did with Lutz, which was really,
John
really
Lutz,
fun.
John
Lutz,
who
with
went
John
on
Lutz.
To 30 Rock.
Yeah, we did the Two Horsemen, and that was a blast. This is more fun because I think I'm better at it now. Like, you can just do more. It's like I got more magic tricks that I know how to make the broom fly better.
Mm-hmm.
So this show is by far the most fun thing I do, I've ever done.
What about you, Craig?
Oh, absolutely, and it's interesting because I usually do a show right before I do a show at gym, and it's very fun, and it's great. Again, it's apples and oranges for me, and the oranges are really good. And the apples are nice. But man, yeah, it's a whole different thing. It's really a different thing. And I would say that started happening not even a few months in. Like, we were, like, figured it out, and it was just, it's always just been that other thing we do.
I did a two-person show with Stephanie Ware at Naked.
I remember that.
This was years ago. It was an hour. And after doing
that... You guys had a great poster for that one.
We had a great poster for it. We were out in the lake.
Just on a card table? Eating
yes.
Just with your... Yeah.
Yeah, it was a classic.
It's a classic improv poster.
I don't know. Yes, it is. Just Google classic improv poster.
It's just number one. It's the number one improv.
What was the name of the show?
It was called Naked.
And Naked.
And we would do... It was... yeah.
It's a lot more.
But it was so... After an hour with two people, after going back to working on an ensemble like doing it on Armando, it's so hard. Do you find that?
I feel like when I play Armando at this point, it is an exercise in like, okay, I don't have, like, am I doing anything? And it turns out you're doing the equal amount you should be doing on Armando, but it feels like I am just sitting on my ass. Where with a half hour with this guy, we end up playing tons of characters and you're always doing it. So... Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm really working that hard in Armando. If you're relaxed, it's like normal.
Mm-hmm. How did you back in 1995? You meet at right here in this building,
Level B.
Level B.
July 95.
Yeah.
What was Jim?
That classroom is now an accounting office.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Soon to be, it'll be a museum for you guys. What was he?
They gave me an office when I directed Main Stage, and my desk was exactly where the couch where he and I sat next to each other the very
weird.
First time.
Isn't that weird?
That's totally weird. What was Jim like back in 1995 in that classroom?
His voice was slightly deeper, and he was...
I was smoking a lot more.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I don't smoke anymore.
We both smoked like crazy.
Yeah.
You're a smoker? You were a smoker?
Oh man, I loved it.
Okay.
On those days, those Saturdays, we would
say improv class probably had a pack of cigarettes before class. Probably a pack during class, because you smoked in class at that point.
That was
probably
cool.
Two more packs after class while we were waiting to go to the jam.
Okay.
Which is where we first saw
you. You couldn't smoke in those classrooms, but you could smoke once you were in a staged classroom. Like, if your class was in Main Stage or your class was in ETC or here, you could just smoke.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
I feel like we smoked.
Not in that little room. I don't think we could have. The ventilation.
I think we were in there with Dalbus and he was lighting up. I honestly think we...
It's
we
possible.
Yeah.
So his voice was
oh my god, he was so funny, and I always to this day still tell him about Rex Whitlatch. It was a character he played, and I remember showing up for Level B, and I was like, okay, there's some different people in this class, and I remember sitting down on the wall because it was just an office fucking room, sitting against the wall, and he's doing this hilarious scene, and the character's hilarious, like Rex Whitlatch, coach. It was like a coach? Is that what it was?
Rex Whitlatch was my high school gym teacher. And I'm like, oh, if I'm going to do characters, this guy's the dumbest guy I've ever seen in my
Amazing.
Life.
Amazing. And I remember telling him at the bar after class, dude, you're so funny. You made the back of my head hurt while I was laughing. He made me laugh so hard that the back of my head hurt.
You're like
it was like an ice cream headache almost.
Okay. But then that was going like down the back
here where you protect when there's like an earthquake or a hurricane. They put you in the hallway, that part you're protecting. He lit it up. It was weird. It's weird, but it's true. And I was like, I know this guy's my kind of person.
So what did that character sound like? Do you remember it?
Roger McCauley, for your size, you're relatively weak. That's close as I can come.
This guy is so like... What was
Craig like?
Well, it was like my Level A class kind of stunk. I didn't like anybody.
Why?
I don't know.
The teacher? Was it the people?
I honestly don't remember. I remember thinking like, okay, if this is improv, we'll give it another class.
Right. Okay.
Who knows? I got into this, and also the class is really fun and funny. And this guy was a shadow of himself. You probably weighed about 130 pounds.
About 135, yeah.
Just, he was working like three jobs.
worked three jobs.
He had a character that would just run into a wall and just bounce off the wall and like hit the ground and then like wake up like, what the hell happened? And that was a character. But it made... It made me laugh. But if you watch our show now, you see definitely moments of it's a far more skilled, nuanced move, but it's the same thing as running as hard as you can into a wall and bouncing off of it. It's just you do it in a way better way. It's just sheer energy and commitment of force. Well, is what I saw, like, and of just a super funny spaz.
Well, do you remember the first time you worked together in class and you're like, there's great chemistry?
Yeah.
I don't.
You do?
You do? I don't. I just remember him in class.
Well, I don't remember the first time, but I remember the important time. We had Zulovic as a teacher.
Jim Zulovic.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
Okay, later I do, but okay. Not initially.
This was level C.
Jim Zulovic is this
class.
He died, but he was this great teacher here, but kind of grumpy, curmudgeonly, for a guy who was in his 30s.
Yeah, and we needed him at that moment. He and I were doing some. He'd be like, okay, you're in a hockey rink. And it was Saturday morning. He was on the ETC at the time, and he would come over, come in hungover every day. She's like, okay, just do something in the hockey rink. So we were just two refs just bitching at each other, just talking over and over and over. And also he's like, Jesus Christ, just shut up for a second. All right, you're both funny, but you don't have to talk at the same fucking time. And we're like, oh. Okay, thanks, Jim. And that was about the note. And we've since figured out how to talk at the same time, but we still listen to each other. Uh-huh. Like, if you were hear a show, it feels like, how are they possibly pulling off a scene? And I know that we over-talk each other all the time, but I'm hearing you.
A lot of times we're actually hearing line by line, even though we're talking over each other. Not every time, but a lot of times, weird.
Is that because of your relationship off stage? What is your relationship off stage?
It's almost the same as it is on stage.
In terms of what? Like, what is, when you see Craig, what does he bring from Craig off stage that he brings on stage that you see?
He's not that different. The I mean, it's... Andy St. Clair says when they just kind of watch us hanging around backstage, it's exactly the same. He goes, I see them on stage, it's the same as what they are off stage. Mm-hmm. I think the difference is we're lying on stage. Like to me, improv is like just lying to a girl in a bar. You just have to keep your story straight with your buddy, and the girl is the audience. Mm-hmm. That's really it. So we're keeping a story straight, but other than that, it's not that different.
And what does Jim bring on stage from his real life?
I've analyzed that a lot the last few years, and it's interesting. The thing I would say is traveling with Jim is like otherworldly because he is unbelievably positive. Super cool and never really gets irritated by things. It's really weird, actually, because things that would make most people irritated, he's just like, he's really cool with things, and it's so calming. And then on the other side of that, he's really just fun. He's really fun. Offstage, he's just a fun dude. So when you get on stage with him, it's just so easy to have fun. Analyzing you, I'd say one of the biggest differences just between us is how you're just really fucking fun. And when you're off stage and you're not working, not directing, not playing, you're just being Jim, you're crazy fun. And I don't think I'm that fun when I'm neutral. I think I'm more bitchy and I have more issues when I'm like that. And then I look at Jim and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I gotta get over myself. Why is this guy so fucking fun all the time? It's interesting.
I show up to IO to do our show and I wander in the bar. And I'm kind of shy before a show. I get into my own thing. So I walk into the back and I kind of hide in the back room to get myself calm enough to get on stage. Euler is the goddamn like mayor of the room, just bouncing around from person. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? Good to see you. He's Captain Gregarious, working all of the students, making sure all the students are happy or how are they doing or how was the class if he hadn't had them in a while. Just really cares about all the students and is absolutely fun as hell just kind of working. I just watch you work the room. Like, as I'm just kind of figuring out what tunes are we going to listen to before the show goes, he's just bouncing around. So, I mean, I think you're absolutely fun as hell when you're not, when you decide to not put your crab ass.
Yeah. It's true.
He'll put it on, but it's easy to get him to stop.
He's
it,
able
too.
To get me to stop.
But, you know, do you think, like, just based on energy, I would say that outwardly you're more positive.
I'm glad.
Seem more like a little more negative, but
I'm more introverted.
But I think there's it's the what I find uh-huh. It's the reverse. Like,
it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at all the outward examples, it seems like I would be more negative.
Right.
You know, I'm divorced. He's married with two kids. Uh-huh. Well, that alone
right.
seems like there would be more. But it, I don't know. I don't think you're super negative. Sometimes it's like negative, but not often. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
We're talking about you guys. You then go to IO after you leave here. And you get on a team which is unheard of in the first
this guy
in the first week, which is the first level at IO. They put you on a team.
Yeah.
How did you feel as he's moving up the food chain quickly? How did I read that it took you three teams to finally hit your group.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
I was crushed.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted so bad to be on his team, especially once I just came and watched a couple of the shows. His team was amazing. And then the other thing was, his team talked about the show after the show, and I was like, "What? You do what? No, we just sit around and talk about what we just did. What?" And then I just watched them, like you said, just whoop, and I'm in fucking Sucktown with the Sucktown players, not having the greatest time. And then I eventually got on Schwa, did pretty good. Deep Schwa, and I did much better. I was with other people that were more my skill level before Deep Schwa. I was on a team with Jack McBrayer mm-hmm. called Spank.
Right.
And I was really out of my league. I was playing with people I didn't have much association with off stage and on stage. I didn't feel comfortable, and I played with Schwan. I got better. I eventually got on his team. Oh my God, it was so fun. I was so glad. But I was probably one of your biggest groupies those first few years because it was my buddy. I knew some of the other guys on there. It was just fun to watch them play.
Because you know, I played with TJ Jagodowski, and I swear every time it's like I'm starstruck. You know, like
I'm sorry, who?
TJ Jagodowski. Okay.
Yeah, I know. He's sadly.
Okay, how long did it take you when you were playing with Valhalla? I mean, these are people that have been playing for such a long time to get over that fact of, I'm not going to be as tentative. I'm going to go out and make mistakes.
Immediately. And that's another thing that was so fun for me because that's not my style. My style would be sit back forever and find my place. And I walked on that team and I just felt at ease just doing anything on that team. I felt okay. It took a little bit, but it didn't feel like it took me as long as it might take someone. Again, because I knew them all so well off stage, doing a show with half of them, a written show at the same time, so I knew most of them mm-hmm. already.
A few of us, was those guys happening at the time
yes.
you were in there? He was already in a sketch group with me and Lutz and Chapman, who
okay.
were already in some of the guys at Valhalla. So he had already been at least writing sketch
right.
with some of us. So it wasn't a complete, like, who's this guy? It mm-hmm. was, here's the guy that makes the most sense to mm-hmm. put in this group.
Mm-hmm.
We needed absolutely that energy.
Mm-hmm. And then you decide, you've directed at IO, you decide to come and direct here.
Well,
Vegas is your first, right?
No. I was directing, I directed a little bit at IO, and uh-huh. then I directed Lutz in something small, and he had kind of a shitty director when he was on Turco here,
okay.
and he tried to get me to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a meeting with Kelly Leonard, and then he goes, "Well, what have you directed?" I'm like, "Almost nothing." He goes, "Well, go direct shit." So then I directed a bunch at IO. And then
okay.
came back to direct Turco. And then Vegas, no, Vegas was like the third thing I directed.
What
I directed ETC first.
Okay, and then main stage?
No, I went ETC, then Detroit, then Vegas, then back to ETC, then back to Vegas, then main stage.
Okay. Then main stage, you get nominated for Jeff, and I know it was a really hard time for you.
Yeah.
What that process, putting up that show, because some personal stuff was going on.
Oh, yeah.
What was going on?
Well, my marriage was falling apart.
Okay.
And I was drinking my ass off because of that.
Okay.
So those are the two things.
Okay.
That was tough. And actually, it was an election show, and it was the first time that the Democratic nomination had not been figured out after Super Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kind of figure out. In the past, like I said, you figure out, okay, you figure out who your candidates are, and then you start working
right.
the show. We didn't know who the hell it was going to be, so we were trying to tailor it. So we were in uncharted territory, and I was unemotionally equipped to deal with that job. And
so,
I might have been burned out. I was directing a ton at that point.
So, I mean, how do you, you know, because that's such a job where, like, you got to babysit and you got to give them emotional support.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Oh, I don't think I did it very well.
Uh-huh.
I think that show has got some really funny scenes in it
uh-huh.
that are very tourable. Like,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those scenes from that show got toured.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a piece, when I was like, oh, that's the one I got nominated for, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
it was my worst show. Like,
mm-hmm.
hands down. Like, not even close. It
mm-hmm.
was. It had funny scenes in it, and it had some really good performances in it, but it looked like the mess of a drunk, pissed off guy. And I've seen it before, different shows. We're like, oh, that's a guy, and I'm not going to name those shows,
right?
Not mine, but I'm like, oh, and I saw him later. I'm like, oh, that's what it was. There were much better shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't pull it off very well at all. I don't
mm-hmm.
think.
And
I got fired from here after that show. Basically, they said,
but then
we don't want you anymore.
Okay.
And then I came back.
Right.
I had to earn it back.
Okay, but now you're like you were like an administrative here. Like, you're the head of.
I am the program head in charge of advanced improv. Which, what does that mean? Which means I'm in charge of all the house ensembles, and I also just got done directing a touring company, and I'm directing and acting in a show in Up that I did today.
Okay.
Same thing. That's a mind fuck.
What, in what
directing
way?
And acting at the same time.
Player
I,
coach.
I like don't your, like it. I'm a Pete Rose in this thing.
It's his idol. His idol is Pete Rose, and is you're player
really?
Coaching right now.
I love Pete Rose.
Well, when I look at you guys when you work together, there's this sense of it's like it's part athlete and it's part rock star.
Yeah.
Is that...
that's a great... I mean, nailed it!
Thank you. Is that what you're going after?
That was the goal in 95.
Thank you.
Let's be rock star athletes.
Welcome to our poster show quote Jimmy Corrine. Yeah.
No, it's not the goal. I don't know if that's the goal. I think
the goal.
But
I mean,
for me, the goal is to do the most fun show with the most fun person to do it with, and mm-hmm. that's
what this is. I mean, mm-hmm. that's I'm done kind of doing things with people I don't like doing stuff with.
Okay.
I mean, so, and things I don't like doing.
That's anymore. Part of middle age, I think, you know?
It is.
How fun.
Oh, great. Oh, good. Well, then that's great. That's cool. The middle age was, he was coming back from Vegas. I'm like, okay, it's going to be a comeback, but hopefully we run long enough that we're middle age when this thing actually, when we're still going, which is pretty fucking close.
Now, you at the beginning you didn't want to tell our age, your age. I told my age, but and I'm not. I don't care. I really don't. But do you really
I feel like a girl about it?
That's okay. That's all right.
I'm sorry, ladies.
Okay.
I mean, you're not supposed to ask a lady their age.
No. And, okay. But is there a part of you that would like to do a stage here, and that's why?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'd take one in a second.
Okay. And what about you, Craig? Because you had done Vegas, and I'm like, you came back, and like Amanda Blake Davis got a stage, and I'm like. I remember when I saw you. I was teaching here, and it's. I don't know why you're teaching because in a couple months they're gonna use you. Do you still have a desire to be on a stage here?
No.
Really? Do you think he's telling the truth?
That worked out of me.
I do.
Okay.
He did it. He did 3 years.
Yeah, I had my.
He was on a resident stage for 3 years.
I loved sketch. I loved writing. I loved coming up with sketches. I loved all that. And now it's weird how much I don't want to write a sketch. And I have great ideas, and I'm like, oh, no, fuck it. All the time. And it's like, done. I'm just done. I'm done with sketch. Maybe I'll come back like Jimmy, but I'm done.
He's unbelievably good at it, but I also know, like, oh, he's burned. He's done with it. I believe him.
Okay, you believe him.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. In Middle Age Comeback, there's two rules. This is what I heard. First move wins and assume the change. Can you explain before we perform? For me, because I...
Yeah. If someone starts something, if I think I'm holding on to, whatever this is, two pool cues,
uh-huh.
and Craig sees my hands and does this and then just starts running with a rickshaw, then
okay.
this is a rickshaw, and then it's a rickshaw show.
Okay.
If I had started doing that first, then it would have been a pool show, and
okay.
the pattern starts, and it, that the whole show is determined there.
Assume the change, Craig. What
yes,
is that?
Absolutely. If something is different, assume it's a brand new scene, and if it's not, we'll let you know it was the same scene from before.
That's,
so assume there's a change.
I think that's less of a... That's less of a rule at this point.
Sure.
I mean, it used to be like, we used to have, when we first started, we would try to, you know, on purpose in 25 minutes, try to get 50 to 60 scenes.
Okay.
And just be cooking and have some scenes have more than six people in them to see how fast we could move.
Okay.
And I think as we're doing it longer, we're finding other stuff where moments are, if you're trying to whatever we're trying to do, you find the whole piece. It's tough. You can't just assume a change, right?
Yeah.
It's,
well, I don't take it. Assume we're going to change.
Right.
Okay.
I think what that might allude to, again, who knows what fucking students tell you, Jimmy? What that might allude to is assume that the scene has changed. Like, you can't assume the scene has changed. If a new move, like, that's weird. Oh, it's a brand new scene. If it's not, we'll let you know it's the old scene.
Okay.
You're saying
if he's
assume
moving
we're going to change a bunch, we're not.
No.
We might or we might not.
If I'm standing here and he moves real fast,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that that's not his character running.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's running to go do another character, or he's running into a different scene.
Yes.
I'm not assuming that his character just decided to run away in fear.
Okay.
Unless it, his, yeah, I would assume that would be if he would stop in place like a cartoon and then move. Does that make sense? Like he kind of, that's how he would let me know, like, my character is now running.
Yes.
He'd be like, yoinks, and then that would happen. Otherwise, I would just, the assumption is like, something is happening new. I'm not going to. Does that make sense?
I think that's what that means.
Okay, so let's just do it. I'm terrified, as you know. You guys, we met before. You're like, oh, I'm going to take care of you. So that's what I'm counting on. And maybe some of my skills. So we'll do that. We want to take a suggestion, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to do what we do, or how do you want to do this?
You guys come out, take a suggestion, and then it goes black, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Carrie, Jim will take the suggestion. We'll go black, play a little music. I can direct, too, at the same time.
Sweet.
This is what it's like to direct. And then we'll go into it, all right?
Sweet.
Okay, so we'll stand up. You'll introduce it, get a suggestion, black, music, and then we'll do it. Okay.
Great.
Great.
We're going to improvise for as long as Jimmy wants us to improvise for. We have a suggestion of anything at all.
Unrequited.
Thank you. Unrequited.
I'm not sure what's inside the middle, so if you guys could help me out by taking a bite and all telling right, me what's
sure.
inside.
We're your goddamn guinea pigs.
Yeah,
yep.
We are.
It's chocolatey with a little bit of nut. Are you allergic to peanuts?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you better not eat that.
How allergic? Do you need an EpiPen?
Yeah.
Do you need get an EpiPen!
Please, get me an EpiPen.
Get an EpiPen! How was it? Did you taste it before you spit it out?
Yeah, I did, like you said.
Was it nutty? Was it a nut one?
Yeah, it was nutty and had some nougat in it.
Where do I stick this? I've never done this.
Nutty.
Stick it in
nougat.
My vein there.
Just in the vein?
In the vein,
in the calf vein?
In the calf vein.
I'm in.
Nut and nougat? Like a Snickers bar? Are you saying it was like a mini Snicker?
It was like a mini Snicker.
Like a Snicklet.
Are you telling me the calf vein is a direct thing to your, like,
yes,
your
yes,
heart?
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, it seems... Oh, I don't know.
You just EpiPen?
I just stuck myself right in the
trailer. EpiPen needles?
Yeah. You got a disease of any kind of terribleness?
The last time I had an AIDS test, I was HIV, but they said it was a 50-50.
Fuck you.
They said it was 50-50.
They said if I didn't have
Where the hell did you go to get that goddamn?
Walgreens. But the thing is,
Walgreens.
Yeah, it was an opening day thing. Look,
I remember seeing a poster on a window. Baseball opening day, they were opening a new Walgreens.
It was right by Wrigley Field. It was the
That
up,
Walgreens?
That
yeah,
Walgreens.
Waveland Avenue Walgreens.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought for a second you were talking about the 7-Eleven. I would have been like, oh, no, that is a bad HIV test.
No.
I'm just going to assume and hope to God that a cotton swab is going to take care of both of
you. Put some alcohol on it.
I did.
That's what they told me.
How you feeling? How you feeling?
My stomach is cramping.
Here, sit on the love seat. Sit on the love seat.
Get on the Davenport.
Get on it. Don't all put right. your shoes on it, but I'm go ahead and get on.
We took the plastic off.
Yeah, Stacy will kick me in the dick if she finds out I have shit sitting on
there.
She'll
kick me right in the goddamn dick.
She'll come home, put on her dick kicking cleats, and go to town.
Well, get me some paper towels.
Okay, I'll get a EpiPen, Junior.
Bring me the whole roll. Don't be so cheap.
All right. So we're good. All right. Hey, do you got any, like, ice cream sandwiches?
Do I? Yeah. I got Neapolitan. I got chocolate. I got a Choco Taco. I got all kinds of things up there. Help yourself.
You want a Choco Taco?
Yeah. Oh, man. Choco Tacos.
No, I feel weird about going into your fridge.
You feel weird about going into my fridge?
Yeah, because you're always... Yeah. You ever have to like go over to like a friend's house and you're like, hey, you got any juice? And they go, hey, Mom, Jim wants some juice. You're like, no, I don't. It's like that. I don't like it.
Okay, I'll get it for you. Choco taco, choco taco.
Yeah.
Two choco tacos.
Choco tacos.
I know what you're saying. You feel like you're in...
No. Let's take his goddamn artwork and get in the van.
Okay. Come on, Limpy.
Oh, man, I got vanilla tacos. You guys want a vanilla choco taco? Is it still a choco taco if it's vanilla? Guys,
you get...
I got it.
It's a paperweight.
Jesus, you get in the van, Limpy. I'm going to get the...
I'm gonna get the good
guys. I'll just make an executive decision after I taste each one. The vanilla one's deceptively delicious. That shit holds up to the old standard. Choco. Crunch.
All right, when you're hot wiring an old van, is it like the red to the green?
Yeah, it's or red to the green.
Red to the green.
Red to the green.
Oh, hands down. Choco with vanilla in the
red. Yeah. No.
I'll give you guys a couple vanilla. I ran out of choco.
No.
Stacy must have taken it.
Yeah. There we go. I flooded it right into service.
Guys,
my art. Who moved my paperweight? Son of a bitch!
Oh shit!
He's really back! He's really back! Oh no!
Roll the window up!
How fast am I running?
42!
Yes! No Choco Top! 55! 61! 78! He's running 70 miles now!
Oh my god, he's passing us! Oh.
Wait! He is gone.
Right. Oh, man.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry I didn't give you a better warning.
That's all right.
That nut really threw you into a tizzy. How's your heart?
I think I'm having a minor stroke.
A minor stroke? Yeah. In your heart or in your head?
It's starting in my head. It's going down to my heart. It's like an ice cream headache.
Oh, you just got an ice cream headache. Yeah. Just thinking about all that ice cream.
It's psychosomatic.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Check out your beers.
Oh, hey, thanks, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Sorry, all we could get you was a table.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Table seating's good.
Yeah.
Somebody put my beer.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything yet? Are they still warming up the orchestra?
They're warming up the orchestra. They have been tuning the A string for hours.
I told you. I read it in the paper.
Yeah.
You did. You told me. Yeah. Chicago's got an orchestra.
Gotta get there an hour early because they're warming up.
They love that A.
You remember. You guys listen.
We do.
Thanks.
Man.
Yeah.
Good call.
That was a really good call.
Man. All right. Are you hoping that the music they play is like from a live composer or a dead guy?
I like a dead guy.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, I like contemporary classical music.
Really?
Like a movie score or something from someone still alive.
Right? I mean, a movie score, I'm down with that. I agree.
Yeah. Right? Like, I could really go for some Star Wars right now.
You think they're going to play John L.
Williams?
Yeah,
they're not going to play John Williams.
You don't think so?
No. I didn't know his middle name was L.
I might have mixed that up with L. Ron Hubbard. Is it John L. Williams?
It is John L. Williams, yeah.
Okay. What does that stand for? Like Larry?
I think it's Larry, yeah.
John Larry Williams. Williams.
Yeah, I would drop the Larry, go with the
album. Well, he did. On the albums, he drops it.
You got his albums?
Yeah, I got
them. You just watch the movies?
No, I don't watch the movies.
You Dirk get his albums?
Yeah, so
Dirk's got an album collection.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you
all
got
on vinyl.
Oh, you got
yeah,
it.
The only way. Yeah. Tell them what you say about vinyl, Dirk.
I say vinyl kicks ass.
Tell me everything you say about vinyl, Dirk.
Vinyl is a bomb.
He's got a million of them.
He does. Another one.
Vinyl is vinyl.
No, you're right about that.
That was another one of my sayings.
Vinyl is vinyl?
Yeah.
No, that's right. You know what I like about it? Sound waves don't get cut off by all the bullshit digitizing.
Yeah, and you...
You get the mid-range in the middle of it.
Yeah, and it's better bass. It's always going to be better bass. And much better sound quality. It's like actually being there. That's why I don't go to the movies, because it's like being there.
Yeah. Yeah, if you listen to movies on a record, it's like being there. You go to the movies, it is not the same, and I don't like it.
No, have you ever listened to Empire Strikes Back on vinyl?
The whole movie? Absolutely.
It's totally different.
The laser gun fights? I don't know what's going on.
I
love it.
I didn't even think what's the guy's name?
Dark.
I didn't even think that Luke was his father. That's how fucked up
really?
It is. Yeah.
Even though he said that clearly in words. Yeah. Like that was an audible moment. You didn't sign language it. You didn't believe it even though you heard it.
No, because you play it back and it says, I'm not his son.
Oh, you play it backwards?
Yeah, just like the Beatles vinyl. Oh, that's what you do with vinyl. Vinyl like is... That.
You ever go backwards on the wall?
Yeah.
Welcome to the secret message.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Set your thing to old pink, and then it doesn't give the address.
Yeah.
Dicks. Oh, look, here comes the conductor.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Chicago. Wow, he did a lap smash. This guy is on it.
I think I'm gonna poke you right in the eye with my ball.
I got the wrong stream going here.
You're wheezing a little bit there, Dave.
I am. I'm just waiting for them to start. Okay, here it comes.
Jerry is not waiting to start. He's going rogue on us.
Man. I don't know where to come in.
Oh my God, that was fun.
Good.
That was fun. That was really great. I mean, the energy, and you guys still listen, even though you're going at about 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think that's what's cool.
What's the secret? Because a lot of students are going to watch this and try to emulate it, and it's going to fall flat. It's going to suck, frankly. What's the secret of what you guys do?
Reps.
Yeah.
Reps. I mean, there's only so many things.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you're going to do something similar to a previous situation. Because we've done so many situations, we tend to not fall for the same trap we fucked ourselves with before. Or we know that's just going to lead to death and terribleness, so don't make that move. So we stop things just mechanically from ourselves, I think, earlier, just because we know... Well, that we know what happens when we do that. It doesn't work right. So because we've done so many shows, I think that helps us do things quicker at this point. I really think it does. I think it's the reps for me.
I mean, we have been improvising together for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the moment, I mean, we just figured that out backstage while you're in there. I just read a book about myelin, the shit in your brain that helps connect all the, I don't know, the synapses and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the more you do something, the more it gets wrapped with myelin. It's like an insulator, so you just move faster. And everything we're doing, and your brains just move quicker because they can.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the basic shit we learned in level B together of just like, listen to the last thing that guy just said, and it's right, and just make it work, and just use it. Is the nuts and bolts of everything. Use the thing the guy just said. Have a conversation with somebody, just... we put it in a van or we deal with a running or we talk about stuff. It's just we're used to creating environments because we've done it so much together. But it's that basic shit you learn in B through whatever.
We also talk about each show immediately.
Yeah.
So when the show's over, we go out back and at least talk. Even if it's the most amazing, perfect show or terrible and we don't want to look at each other because we didn't like what we did, we still go back and we figure out what it was in this show that didn't work for us. And the weird thing is what he already said in the earlier thing. It's typically one of the first three things we did in the show.
All right, so what if we went backstage and we talked about what happened, what would we talk about?
I would say I'm sorry I put you on the spot to come up with record sayings.
Okay.
Because I couldn't tell if you liked that or not. That's about the only thing I would say. I just apologize. I didn't mean to pimp you into saying stupid shit. I was trying to just give you a gift.
Okay.
Hey, this guy says things about records.
Okay, so let's say that, because I after the second one, I was like, I don't have anything.
Yeah, and I was well.
So what do you in a situation like that, because that's going to happen, how do you respond to something like that? In the character, me, yes.
You just keep, my thing is whatever you say is going to be, I'm going to think it's great.
Okay. Because so I'm thinking like, oh, he's setting me up. I got to pay off with a laugh.
Yeah.
And then I go into Funny Town and, you know.
When he's doing it, I find the same thing because we'll both do that to each other. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, oh, you're pimping me. And I'm like, but I got to a point where I love it, where it's just, what he's doing is just saying, say something. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what the hell I say. And yeah. I you no longer really worry about coming up with a laugh line. Mm-hmm. Like, what makes records great? What makes vinyl great about vinyl? It's vinyl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you just
say that later.
You'll be like,
probably.
Yeah, it is.
And it would have come up
later. And then we'll just use it. It doesn't matter.
But yeah. I didn't feel pimped in that. I felt like you were trying to include me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it is a pimp.
I don't either.
Okay.
And I don't think you have to apologize either, do you? Like, when you're done with this, like, done, I don't.
He does it.
Really?
He'll apologize for shit where that doesn't matter. It's like, I love that move.
Right. Yeah.
He'll go back. It's like, I didn't mean to put you into this spot. I'm like, no, you put me into that spot, which led to this, which was so much fun. Mm-hmm. I love that moment.
Yeah. We're going to take questions from the audience because they're going to want to ask about what we did or about you guys.
Cool.
All right. Great.
Any questions?
Yes.
Have you ever done any longer form things?
Your show's a half hour. So have you done anything longer than a half
longer
hour?
Than half an hour? What do you mean by longer?
Like maybe not scenes that are like maybe a minute long, but maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I mean, I did. When he's gone, I bring in all kinds of different. You mean the two of us together, or just as individuals?
Either or.
When he's gone, I bring in other people all the time. We had Amanda come in. I think we did one scene that was just a half an hour, but it moved to a lot. I mean, it was one scene, maybe in different locations, but sure, it's. This was just real fast, just to kind of fuck with Jimmy a little bit.
Right.
And, I mean, throw him in the middle.
He said he was nervous. He's like, one time I got dragged along the train. I'm like, we'll grab your leg. So it was a little bit like, let's just move him real fast and just attack him like badgers. But we will absolutely slow down and play one long-ass scene. One of my favorite shows that you and I ever did was basically one scene in a house at a slumber party. Would move throughout the house.
You can find that online. Go to my Facebook page. You can watch that show. It's a really good show.
But it's mainly one scene of two kids trying to break into their dad's liquor cabinet. His dad's upstairs next to with a mom, and an older brother comes in. There's more characters that come in, and it moves fast. But it's really one. It's one act
follow
of a play
people.
That's really one scene with a bunch of different tiny French scenes in it. But
month 8 and 9, I would say, right before our first year, we started doing forms together. In our show, we're like, hey, let's try a Harold tonight. Then we did Harold Deconstruction, LaRond, and then one more, and then took whatever we had
learned. We did a movie, and then a sequel to that same movie.
We did a movie, then took our intermission. Was like, well, we should just do the low-budget sequel to that same movie. Came back out, did the movie. It's a form called The Movie. That was so fun, but man, is that high energy. The cool thing is, after doing that, we took what we learned from those forms, what we know of them. Now, what's that mean in a two-person show? And then brought those moves in. And I think from there, we were really getting better at calling each other's stuff back. Because we had attempted a structured form, it taught us how to call each other's stuff 20 minutes later back, or 10 minutes later back. I said that weird. Does that make sense?
If you were asking, do we ever do something calm? Not really. He and I have tried it, and it always it doesn't work.
We're
not calm humans. It goes against who we are. And I think, and in my gut is, you got to be at least play close to yourself. And who yourself is he's not a calm man. So why would I want him to be something he's not? That's tough to play. You are a calmer person, so we're going to put a calmer person in a heart to have an heart attack
right.
in the middle of the sea. But that's fun. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Like so much improv, especially among students, is really cautious and tentative. Was that something that you had to overcome yourselves, or have you always been just sort of attacking the stage?
It took me a long time to get comfortable attacking anything. For a long time, I was terrified that I was going to say the wrong thing, or not do what my scene partner wanted to happen, or that I was just going to look stupid. Like, I was going to say something that made me as a human seem unintelligent. So I would say, no, I did not always attack. I was very tentative. When I started playing with more people that were more trustworthy, or at least seemed like they trusted me and understood things, my work just grew exponentially. But when I played with people that weren't as comfortable being around me offstage, the work was harder, I would say. And early on, I don't know how much I was going after trying to be more open to those people. off stage. You know, I kind of probably was like, they don't want to see me, and just left.
I go through waves of it. There are times if I'm playing Armando, I get more cautious, and there are times where I'm full on attack. It depends on, I don't know, where you are in life sometimes. But not as, I mean, I think early on there might have been more, there had to be more caution. Or the aggression was just misdirected at times, or you're just yelling all the time. I don't know.
Oh, that's for sure.
You know, you bring this thing up about it depends where you are in life. And I really believe that improv is such a transparent art form. What do you do, like, let's say you're going through a divorce or you're a heavy drinker. I don't know if any of this resonates, but and you got to go and you got to do a show. How do you put that behind you and do the show? Or do you let
When that was happening, mm-hmm. and I was going to do the show and I was leaving main stage to come do the show with him, mm-hmm. it was the most fun thing in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, all right, I'm having fun. Granted, most of the wives we played or I played in that show were real nags. I mean, there was not a positive female role model in any of the shows when I was playing a woman. They mm-hmm. were battle axes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not me saying that that's what my ex-wife was. What I'm saying is that's I was,
that was
manifesting.
Your experience.
It was just coming out. That was coming out. I mean, you use it, but I used it in a fun way. We look at a lot. I mean, pretty much for a long time, any woman we played in a show was Karen from Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
why did you do that?
Why? Where? Why?
But we got better at it. But that definitely was happening there.
But you got better. Was it partially because the divorce was behind you and stuff like that? Because I really believe that stuff does play a big part in improv.
Sure. I mean, it does. I mean, I think I play far more understanding ladies now and more understanding people, and I'm with a much, for me,
right.
a more understanding and nicer lady now.
Right.
Like, so that is...
And that's Kate Duffy. We had her on the show. She's beautiful and funny.
One of the greatest ladies ever. And I think there's more openness to my play, and I have more fun. So there's more joy in what I do now, because mm-hmm. I think there's probably more joy in my life
right.
at this point. I mean, would you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What made you guys decide to start doing the Village Comeback, and what did you sort of? Because
he was moving back from Vegas.
What was the second part, Nate?
Just like, what did you guys expect it to be? Like, were you just like, let's just do a show, let's have a good time?
He was moving back from Vegas. I knew it, and there was a Sunday night slot open, and I was like, okay, we're taking this. And
mm-hmm.
you didn't necessarily want it. You're like,
yeah,
right,
I was just getting back from Vegas. I was like, I gotta figure out what's going on. And he literally. I wasn't back a week. Like, the show was the weekend I got back. Like, 9th is our first show, and I think I moved back to 8th.
Yeah. We moved you in and then did a show the next night.
Yeah.
And the expect was just, I don't know, have fun with my old improv buddy that hasn't been in town in 3 years and see what happens.
I was terrified of two-person shows, and in Vegas, right before I came back, one of the last improv shows I did there, very few improv shows, got to do maybe once a week, was with Ryan Archibald, and we did a two-man show, and it was tremendous. Like, I felt like a rock star. Rock star? Is that what
yeah,
it was?
Rock star athlete.
Rock star athlete when it was over, and I got back here and was like, okay, I can do this. I don't know if I even had the confidence before that show to do a two-person show. I was like, I really don't even have any desire to do a two-person group improv show. Why the hell would I want it? I'll just do stand-up. Again, was just always my thinking, and then the first show was terrible.
It was
our
awful.
First show was terrible. No, it was terrible.
It was bad. We called Liz Allen, and I called Liz Allen,
and I had her still in Vegas.
Yeah, in Vegas, she was Valhalla's original coach.
Right.
I'm like, okay, if we're gonna do the show, what do we do?
Jimmy Carrey,
improvising better, and a great teacher,
and
yes,
and a great director.
One of the best teachers I've ever had in the history of everything.
So we go, Liz, give us a form. So she
gave us
a piece of shit form that was so bad it led to nothing but conflict, and you
just
had
bad
to say
for us.
No.
Not a
right.
bad form, and just terrible for us.
It just didn't. It was the exact opposite of what we needed to do.
Was.
We walked out afterwards like, that was fucking awful.
We should have done things together.
Yeah,
and then it was so bad.
And I was like, wait a minute, what was the basis of that show? And I was like, oh, it was completely counterintuitive to how the hell we would do it. So we had to hash it out, and the next week we did completely opposite, and we started having fun. I don't think it was good yet, but we were having fun.
It definitely wasn't good, but we didn't hate it.
Yeah.
That's the big difference.
Okay, we've got to wrap this up, and I want to put the happy ending to this. I heard that it took about 6 months to find the show.
Probably.
Okay, and it really... one of the big moments was you had switched songs from a Monkey song to a Rolling Stone song.
Yeah, well, that definitely, that was about the switching moment. On the six-month marker, let's switch tunes.
And you went with the Stones over the Monkees.
Yes.
I think that's because the Monkees he attributed to his life with being married and doing Mainstage. Because I think that all was right around that time.
Are you serious?
And you changed the Monkees song because you needed to hear something different. and I knew a couple of the other songs on the playlist. I knew your connection to them. So when you changed it, I think you were doing it to fucking cut and start the hell over, kind of. And, I mean, it was. It was literally like, from that moment, I was like, it was amazing. The shows really got better quick. And I think it just happened to coincide with his, like you just said, his life clearing up a little bit and some things reorganizing.
Could have easily.
You can use this session. Just give me. You can use your insurance copay on this for therapy.
No, this stuff's all fixed.
Okay,
that got hashed out years ago.
Great, because I'm still working on myself. I'd like to be at the place that you're at. You know.
Well, you're getting married. We'll see what happens.
All right.
I'm being a total smartass. I'm sorry.
There's the negativity.
It's a wonderful institution.
Great. Jim Carlson, Craig Euler, thank you so much for being guests. We could go another hour, but they kick us out at 10 o'clock. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, this is fun.
That's it, another episode of Improv Nerd, and I really had a good time improvising with them and talking to them. I love Craig's enthusiasm and passion about not only performing but teaching, and Jim's honesty about his main stage experience was just great. And it was just fun working with him. If you do ever get into Chicago, check out Middle Age Comeback. It's on Sunday nights at the I.O. Theater. I want to thank all the good people here at Second City and, of course, my producer, Ben Caprero. And if you want more information about Improv Nerd, go to our Facebook page and like us, please, please like us, or go to jimmycarain.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, remember, walk, don't run.
Hello, I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. And he's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, he's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm a
bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a rich...
I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat.
A cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat.
I help people.
She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My